Thank you, Gareth. So, as I said in my WhatsApp message yesterday, when so many were talking about love, loving is indeed what I'm going to be talking on. And just before we went away on holiday, I said to God, you know, we come back Saturday afternoon yesterday, so there was no way I was going to be able to prepare a talk on Saturday afternoon. So before we went, I was speaking to God and saying, here's my bookshelves, Lord. It's full of commentaries and Bibles. What do you want me to preach on this Sunday that I return? And I felt him draw me to two sets of commentaries, one on Chronicles 1 and 2 and one on Corinthians 1 and 2. So I felt then that I'd be preaching in one of those areas, but I didn't know what the subject was. And Jackie said to me, as I picked up the books to pack them, she said, "Oh, not Chronicles. Why do you like Chronicles so much?" And that caught me slightly, because I thought, am I reaching for Chronicles because I love Chronicles rather than God speaking to me? So we went away, and it was just amazing how God, whether it was through my devotionals or verses for the day or things that we came across, that he reinforced what he wanted me to speak on. So that's where this comes from. And Gareth opened up by speaking out 1 Corinthians 13. I was very much around in the 70s, and I don't know if you remember these cartoons by Kim. They were all the rage. That is not what we're going to be focused on. That it's not that love. This is what we're going to be focused on. I, like you, have probably been to a number of wedding services where, as part of the service, and I have to say, even our own, this verse, this passage is used. And we're very focused on a wedding service naturally, on the bride and groom. And I think we use this passage sometimes wrongly when we're thinking about the love of this bride and groom for each other. Because that's not what this passage, it's not about love for our partners. It's not, well, it is and it isn't, but it isn't focused on us. It isn't that eros love, it isn't that philios love. It is God's love, agape love. So I just want you to get that in your minds before we start. Now, Gareth read out the whole of 13. But I felt God drawing me to this second part. So I'm going to read this again. You've heard it once when Gareth read it, but this is primarily the focus of this morning. Love never fails, But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And there's quite a mixture of themes in there. So we're going to pick this apart. So that first sentence within the first person, and don't panic. Just because I'm starting with the first sentence, I'm not going to go through each and every phrase in this detail. But I love this first sentence. Love never fails. And it's not, remember, he's not talking about the love that we have for another person. Because we know, we've all experienced, either directly or indirectly, best friends, closest buddies, falling out. That love failed. Marriages failing. That love that drew two people together. So we know in the natural, love does fail. But here's talking about the love of God. Never fails. Never fails. Never ends. He was there in the beginning, before in the beginning, and it continues through eternity. And as it says in Romans, for I am convinced neither height nor depth nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. However you measure love, God's love, if you're thinking in terms of length or height or depth, it can't be overcome. Nothing can get in the way of that love for us. Time after time, we separate ourselves from God, or seek to separate ourselves to God. But that love never fails. Now, God created the world and then man in his image to walk with him, to spend time with him, because God so loved us. And Adam and Eve, they had their disobedience and they went their own way and they gave in to temptation. God didn't stop loving them. And we read through the Old Testament and the New Testament how time after time after time God's people gave up on God. But God does not give up on his people. He loves us. He can do no other than love us. And why is that? Well, in 1 John 4:16, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. And those three words are just as important as the three words we read earlier, that his love never fails. It's repeated twice in 1 John 4. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. God is love. Love is God. He can do no other than be good. His love for us never fails. And we just need to hold on to that. Hold on to that thought. Now, we were on holiday in Burford. And we're thinking about, what is this love? And if you've ever been to Burford, it's a lovely medieval village. As you go down the high street, it is just building after building. It's not a modern building inside, just medieval building after medieval building. And the church is just set back off the high street. And we went in the church, and there was this big notice, it was probably twice as big as this screen, notice board. And it was the children's groups had done the display as part of their Sunday schools. And I was drawn to it because I could see love and I could see hearts. And as I went over, right in the middle was this love. And it is the words that you've heard earlier. And you just take out the word love and put God is patient. Because God is love. God is kind, etc., etc. God never fails. That's what love is. That's what His love is for us. Despite our erring and wandering away, He's forever patient. So love never fails. And then we get into this thing that seems a bit sideways. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. You notice, cease, stilled, pass away, disappears. Those spiritual gifts, they will not endure. They will not stay with us. But Paul is not saying that they're unimportant, that they're not, that we shouldn't seek them. But he's saying that they will not last forever. Love, God's love will be around forever. But those things will not pass away. And the 1 Corinthians 12, just a chapter before, goes on to talk about the wonders and the power of those spiritual gifts. We need to seek those gifts. I'm not a proponent of the view that these gifts were alive and well in the early church and they were for them and them alone and they disappeared. You know, some people take the view that Paul is talking here about them ceasing, and they ceased at the time of the early church. They're ceasing because we won't need, you know, when we're in heaven, who are we going to be prophesying to? No one. You know, when we're in heaven, what do we need knowledge about that we won't have in that perfect place with God? There will become a time when, you know, if you've got that wonderful gift of laying hands on someone and then being healed or you know, risen from the dead, that gift will disappear when we're in heaven. All we need is the love of God. Because there'll be no sickness. There'll be no things that we don't understand that we need to understand, because we'll have full knowledge. So they will pass away. They will pass away. And although I'm focusing on these verses between 8 and 13, it's in chapter 13. It's really important that we don't take them out of context. So it's really good to read them in the context of the previous, but also the following verses. Because in chapter 14, and this is whilst we're on holiday, Jackie said to me, I really feel God is speaking to me about this verse. Follow the way of love. Follow God's way. Follow where His love is taking you. And eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. So we must seek those gifts. We must seek those gifts. God will bless us. We must always be in His love. So this chapter goes on. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. We can all get a sense of this. Life is full of transitions. Our natural life, you know, children develop into young adults, and young adults develop into, well, hopefully wiser, older people. But within that, Paul's also talking about when we truly come to know God, when we're no longer here on earth, we will have a knowing that will be so unlike the knowing we have now. You know, God gives us revelations, but it's not a total revelation. We learn, even as Christians, even as old Christians, we learn more and more each day as we're listening to God, as we're spending time in His Word. But it is not complete. It will only become complete when we're with Him. For we see only a reflection as in a mirror. You know, at the time of Paul, mirrors, you know, commonly were a piece of metal that were buffed up and made shiny. You know, throughout history, this is Jackie and William were on holiday, and we were at this house, and it had what it called the mirror pond. That's the best image I could get of Jackie and William in a mirror pond. You know, the mirror pond, mirrors are imperfect. Even today, when you go into a shop and buy a mirror, it's lovely and flat. It's got the silver back. You don't get a pure image because it's distorted. You're seeing it the wrong way round. As I know to my cost, when I try to shave myself with a wet shaver, sometimes I turn the razor the wrong way because I'm looking in the mirror to what I to do. For now we only see the truth as a pale reflection. And it's only when we come finally face to face with our Father will we know the truth as it is. We'll know fully just as He knows us. He knows us inside out. We know in part. You know, I love reading his word. And it just amazes me how many times I read a passage I've become overly familiar with and I see something fresh in it. And I keep learning and I keep learning. There is still so much to know. And only be finally when I'm in his presence that I'll know all that I need to know. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Paul's not saying that faith and hope are insignificant. They are really, really important. You read all of Paul's writings, you read the other letters, they tell us that faith and hope are important, but the greatest of these is love. Because faith, it focuses really on the revelation that we have, the revelation that Christ, as we celebrated this morning, as Christ died for us on that cross and rose again for us. You know, God sent his only Son for us. The focus is on our revelation of all of that. And hope. The focus there is on the eternally with Jesus, eternally with the Father. Again, it's about God, it's about Jesus, but the focus is on us. Whereas love is God, and the focus is squarely on God. That is why it is the greatest. Because it stands supreme. Without love, faith cannot operate. Without love, there can be no hope. Without knowing that love of God, we're lost. So love never fails. And Buzz Lightyear, one of his sayings is to eternity and beyond. You know, and that's the greatness of God's love. It is there to eternity and beyond. You know, we set in our earthly minds eternity, but God sees bigger than we can encapsulate. And I couldn't resist this because I do love Chronicles. And I felt God just remind me of this verse. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. God is good. It's a fact. Hard and fast. There's no grayness about it. It's a fact. God is good. His love endures forever. His love never fails, never ceases. His love. Not the love that we have, unless we are carrying His love within us and showing that love, God's love, by what we say and what we do. Now, I want to invite you to do something a bit... We don't do this very often. I don't know why, because we love to come together and sing collectively our praises and worship. We quite like doing it, well, I do, on my own when I'm at home. But we like that collective worship. But what we don't do is speak collectively. Maybe that's a little bit of rebellion against other church traditions that we've been in. I don't know. Because if we were over at St. Mary's, we would regularly each week go through a shared liturgy of speaking the same words, and there's power in those words, real power of what we say and what we sing. You know, if they're connected to our heart, if we're talking of God and it's connected to our heart, there's real power in it. So, where's my briefcase? I grabbed a booklet the other week. I just want to. It used to be known as the Call to Prayer in Norwich. It's now the Lighthouse, and this is their latest booklet. I just commend it to you. It's only a £3 or £4. So I've pinched a declaration from that booklet, and I'm going to invite you to join with me as we declare this. So whether you want to stand or sit, whatever feels right to you, we're talking to the heavenlies, and we're saying to the Father, these are truths that we stand by. So let's say this together. Just two slides. I'll click over when the time is. And if you say it, you don't have to say it at my pace of saying it. All right? You say it as it flows from your heart. I'll give you a moment just to scan the lines. So we declare that your banner over us is love. We declare your love is everlasting and unfailing. We declare that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, neither height, nor depth, nor anything in creation. We declare we are only loved because you, God, first loved us. We declare love is the reason Jesus laid down his life for mankind. God is love. Amen. 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 And that, folks, is it.
This morning, my psalm in my daily reading was Psalm 89. It says, I will sing of